right. Thank you, Roberts. Kids, always do a fine job.
Amen.
All right, before we get started, I'd like to welcome you to Landmark Baptist Church and find out if anybody's visiting for the very first time. If you're a first timer here, could you please hold up your hand so we can give you a visitor's card? You can put that there, some in the back. Put that in the offering plate when it comes around. Pastor Carter is not here. He's up in, I believe, he was up in West Virginia. His granddaughter was graduating from high school, and then I think he's preaching someplace else today. But pray for him and Miss Sonia as they travel. But it's good to see you here. We'll go ahead and go through the announcements. I want to go ahead and here's one right here. Just a reminder for those who will still like to give something to help the Sawyers who had the house fire recently. If you give by check, please write fire or Sawyers on the memo line. And if giving cash, put it in an offering envelope. And again, mark the envelope that way and continue to pray for those folks. They're here today and praise the Lord for that. But still got some recovery to go and all of that. All right. Of course, we're winding down to the end of the year. And we've got just a few announcements to kind of start to shut things down. This Wednesday will be the last Kids Bible Club for the season, and it'll resume in the fall. And then graduation's coming up. We got the kindergarten graduation coming up on Tuesday, May 31st. And then the high school graduation coming up on June 1st. We didn't have a graduation last year, so it's exciting. We're going to have seven young folks graduating this year. And that's we're looking forward to that. But it doesn't stop there, because when we close things down here, if things pick up out at camp, also we have camp brochures available on the tables in the back. Junior camp begins, it'll begin June 20th and go through the 24th. And teen camp is July 18th through the 22nd. If you'd like to sponsor a camper, just put an amount you'd like to give on an envelope and mark it camp. So that's going to be coming up real quick. We're looking forward to that. All right, we'll go ahead and take some time to look at our prayer request. I got kind of a praise here from Bonnie Hill, Ron Land, her son. I believe he's here, right? And he's here with us. I know we've had him on the prayer list for a good long time. And she wants to say thanks for all your prayers and praise the Lord for that. All right, I got some new prayer requests here. Bob Oswardi is requesting prayer for the family of Pat Roberts. He passed away this morning. It was a lady, I'm sorry. She passed away this morning. She was only in her 40s. It was complications to from diabetes, so definitely want to pray for that family. And then pray for David Yeager's cousin, Billy Glover, Pearl River, Louisiana, colon cancer. He's just 51 years old. And then Jerry Layden's out sick today with a bad cold and sore throat. I thought we were just about over that. It went through our midst for a good month and a half, but he might be the tail end of that, I hope. Also, praise the Lord for this. Myra Cruz is home and doing well. Yeah. Good to have Brother Cruz back up here. And then Sandy Johnson's surgery went well, and pray for her recovery. Kathy Messersmith is asking prayer regarding a biopsy and results of her bone scan. Paula Herzog will see the doctor again Thursday. Pray for a good report on the infection she's been fighting. Bob Christian's daughter Sally is suffering with a lot of pain and will be going back to Moffitt on Tuesday. I know she had cancer before, but it's come back, so definitely pray for her. And then Allison Spadano's father's in the hospital with cancer and will begin treatments this week. Pray for him. Brother Orville Seawright's daughter Julie needs continued prayer as the first nerve block for pain was not successful. And then continue to pray for Brother Donahue's three-year-old grandson, Timothy. And then continue to pray for Lois Shriver, Phyllis Liggett, Lois Mead, and Molly Golding. And then remember to pray for Brother Wally. We went by there this week. I had all the kids in the high school sign a yearbook for him, and we dedicated it to him. And unfortunately, I couldn't catch him home, but so I'm going to try and maybe do that today or tomorrow. But pray for him. Pray for him and Pat, faithful servants of the Lord. Also remember Brother Michael Carter, Jack Kuiper, and Richard Giordano. And then Morris Addison went home to heaven late Wednesday night. Pray for Miss Dottie. He had the funeral at Bushnell, and a memorial service will be planned when she is out of rehab. So pray for Miss Dottie. I remember the Morrisons back when I was in college. They were such a blessing. And pray for Miss Dottie as she's in rehab. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll ask Brother Perkins to come to the mic and pray, and we'll continue from there. Go ahead, Brother.
Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning, Lord. We just thank you for your mercies, your goodness to us, Father. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon all that goes on around the property this morning, all the junior churches and whatnot, Father. And Father, we ask that you'll bless us here in this service this morning, Lord. We pray that there be any lost among us, Father, that today would be their day of salvation. And Father, we want to thank you for all these on the prayer list, Lord. We don't want to raise them up to you. And Father, you know every need. You know every name, Father. And we just pray that you'll have your will and way with each and every one, Lord. We want to thank you for the answered prayer that we've seen there. We want to thank you for bringing Sister Cruz home so quickly, Lord. That is just a blessing to us. And Father, you just continue to amaze us with your great powers. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with your speaker this morning, Lord. Pray that you'll be with Brother Morgan as you bring forth your word, Lord. We ask now, Lord, that you'll bless the offering, the gift, and the giver, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Listen as the adult choir sings, "I Want to Be There." That day, amen. Please stand, turn to hymn number 12, "Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, Let Me Hide Myself in Thee." Let's sing all three stanzas. Hymn number 12, "Rock of Ages."
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy riven side which flow be of sin the trouble pure.
singing. Please be seated.
Thank you, Brother Cruz. So good to have him back. Appreciate that beautiful song. And our speaker this morning is Brother Jim Morgan. Brother Jim is a missionary to Romania. And I drew a blank when I was sitting there, and I knew they'd been in Romania for many, many years, but I thought it was Hungary. And so I reached over and I said, "Hungary?" And he said, "Well, yeah, you want to, you know." He didn't know. So I got him. Anyway, Brother Jim's family's with him today, so we'll let him come and introduce them and bring the message this morning, brother.
Amen. I'm always hungry. Amen. All right. Well, it's good to have my wife and my son, Timothy. He's in Kansas City now working at an internet company, and my other son Benjamin's here. Jeremiah's at home sick, and then Simona is with us from Romania. She's worked with us for many years over there. She came back to visit with her sister who recently lost her husband in Knoxville, Tennessee. So we appreciate you folks. So many of you have been such a blessing to us over the years. We've been in Romania for 21 years. And for those of you who aren't here often, I'm not here often either. Amen. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. I got an interesting thought listening to another message on this same subject. the preacher was preaching on the names and titles of Jesus, and he brought out something about one of the names of Jesus. And I kind of took that thought and ran with it in a little bit different direction. But I do want to acknowledge that this is not original. Amen. At least part of it. If it is original, it's probably a problem. All right. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help me today bring this message the way you'd have it brought. I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit. And Lord, may the Word of God resound in our hearts. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there's one here that's not saved, I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God will drive them to their knees, and that they would cry out for forgiveness and salvation. I pray, Lord, if there's those here that are wandering from you or straying or thinking about that or have been playing with the idea, I pray, Lord, that they get down on this altar after this service and get right and go right. Pray, Lord, that you'd use me today. Help me to be a blessing and an encouragement and a challenge. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess what I really want to draw your attention to is in verse number 14, "Under the church of the angels of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen." The Amen. You see, the word that we use so flippantly in our lives is also one of the titles of Jesus Christ. It's his name. And we've been given an injunction in the Ten Commandments that we're not to take the name of the Lord in vain. Probably in this service, the word Amen is used about 78 times in the Bible, in the King James Bible. I don't know about the other ones, don't really care. But it's used about 78 times, but in this service alone, we will probably use the word Amen a lot more times than that. In daily life and out in the world, the word Amen is thrown around almost as a joke. We'll say Amen about things that have nothing to do with God whatsoever. You'll hear the world and on TV, they'll be saying, "Oh, Amen, brother," just like it's just some kind of a joke. And yet we have we've forgotten, or we haven't paid attention when we look at it and we realize that this is one of the names of our God. Think about this. If you'll notice here, the word Amen is used in conjunction with judgment and condemnation. I used to think that Amen was strictly meant "so be it," and it does mean that. And so I would always try to be careful whenever I say Amen in a service not to say Amen about something negative. You know, like anybody that dies and their sin goes to hell, Amen. But I found out that maybe I should say that. Because let me give you a little bit of a lesson on the word Amen. Go back, if you would, to Numbers chapter 5. We've got Bible college professors here tonight, and so we have to be scholarly. And so we're going to observe the law of first mention in the Bible. Usually when you study the Bible, you want to find the first use of a particular word to find out what its general meaning or how it's going to be used throughout the whole Bible. So the law of first mention I don't like the word hermeneutics because we don't follow Hermes, we follow Jesus, amen. So the first law of Bible study is the law of first mention. And it's interesting when we find the word the first time in the Bible, it's in an interesting light. Numbers chapter number 5, verse number 22. And this water that causes the curse shall go down into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. When the spirit of jealousy came upon a man, and he couldn't really figure out whether his wife was being true or not, he would take her to the temple and or to the tabernacle, and they would, the priest would take some dust off the floor of the tabernacle and put it into some water and make the woman to drink the water, and he would pronounce his curse on the woman. If she has been untrue to her husband, her belly was to swell and her thigh was to rot. And what was she supposed to say when the curse was pronounced? Amen. Amen. Now, this wasn't a good thing. This was a bad thing. Go, if you would, next time it's used in Deuteronomy chapter number 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Moses is given instructions for when they go into the land of Canaan, just before his death. He says, when you get into the land of Canaan, some of you are going to stand upon Mount Ebal, and some of you are going to stand upon Mount Gerizim. And here's what you're going to say when you're standing on Mount Ebal. Look at this. Verse number 14. And the Levites shall speak and say unto the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say,
amen.
Amen. Now that was a curse. And God said, and listen, I'm not going to read all the verses, but there's curse after curse after curse. And it's like this. Have you ever been to one of those camp meeting churches and the preacher's really sweating and he's hacking and he's going along and he'll say something that he thinks is really good and he says, somebody say amen. And this is what God's saying. What he's doing, and he is giving them a legal document and he's having them sign that document with an amen. What they're saying is, yes, I heard what you said, and I acknowledge that you said it. Because here's the thing, I see it all the time in church. I see people, they're looking at me, the lights are on, but nobody is at home. Their eyes are open, but their ears are listening to something else. I mean, I have preached a whole sermon about a certain subject, and somebody come up and asked me about that same subject, and they didn't hear a word I said. And they were looking at me the whole time, I think. Maybe they were looking at the blemish on my face, or maybe they were looking at my crooked tie. I don't know what it was, but it looked like their eyes were on me. And so to keep that from happening, he's pronouncing these curses, and he's making sure, are you listening? You know, we preachers, we're kind of insecure. Have you ever noticed that? I don't know if you know that. But we'll be preaching along. We'll just stop every once in a while and say, amen?
Amen.
Because we're getting a little nervous. And we need some acknowledgement and some affirmation. We like to be affirmed. We need some affirmation. And so I said, and we have our little tics and our habits. And one of mine is to say, amen. In Romanian, it's, do you understand? Because I don't know if they understand me or not. I speak pretty bad Romanian. But so the first usage that we find of the word amen is really in a context of judgment and of cursing. But what God is wanting them to do, they're wanting them to say, yes, I agree with this. Look, if you would. If you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. I like the King James Bible because it defines itself very well.
Yes,
has its own definitions. I don't really need these lost Greek lexicographers to tell me what a word needs, because the King James gives me those words. Tells me what they need. Man, that's good stuff there. You get away from those lexicons and Greek concordances and stuff like that, and you'd be all right. We need to learn English. Did you know that? If we just learn English, You Spanish-speaking folks, I'm sorry, but you just need to learn English. Amen. I was looking at Brother Cruz and Brother Rodriguez. No, really. We as English-speaking people, we need to learn English. We can get rid of a lot of the false doctrine. We learn what our own words mean. Where was I? Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, and my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, before I go to verse 16, let me explain the context here. And remember that this is a Baptist church. And if you wandered in here and you're not Baptist, don't get mad at me. Because if I went to a Pentecostal church, I'd expect the Pentecostals to get after me for being a Baptist. All right? But listen to me. This is correcting an error in the improper usage of a spiritual gift. And they were abusing and misusing and misinterpreting what the gift of tongues was. Now, let me see if I can explain it to you. If I were to get up here and were to begin preaching in Romanian, I think there's probably only one or two people here that would understand what I'm talking about. Simona, Timothy, and maybe my wife and my son, other son. But if I was to do that, I would not be doing anything to benefit you. All that would happen is I would build myself up. You would be so impressed that I could say John 3:16 in Romanian. You would be so impressed that I could preach a message in Romanian. But you know what? You really could not say amen to what I was saying. Because look what it says in verse number 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Okay, so amen is not only so be it, but amen is an acknowledgement of understanding. So be it is agreement, and it's also amen is I understand. So I understand and agree. I'm glad he shortened it down to amen. Wouldn't it be rough if we all had to say, I agree and understand every time the preacher says something cool? So we have an acknowledgement and an agreement. I hear and I understand. I get it. And so when Moses told Joshua what the Levites were to say on Mount Ebal, and they read out all the curses, all the people, what they were doing was they were putting their initials beside each one of them, like you sometimes have to do at the doctor's office when they ask you all those questions. I understand. And I am in agreement. You know, Jesus Christ is called the Amen. He did two things in conjunction with the Father. When God said, let there be light, Jesus said, so be it. And there was light. When God created the earth, Jesus said, okay, I'll do that. So be it. And he created the earth. And he created the heavens. And he created the stars. He was the so be it. He was the one who completed it. But you know what? There was never a time when Jesus was at odds or in disagreement with his Father. You know, one of the things that we need to develop in our lives as Christians is we need to be in agreement with God. So many times, you know what the problem today in society is? God created men, and some guys didn't agree with what God created them to be, and they want to be something else. That's the world. We have the same problem in the church. People are not in agreement with the position that God's put them in or the lot in life that they have. They're not in agreement with God taking a loved one home, and they're mad at God because I needed him and he went too early and God didn't answer my prayers. And what we should be saying is, God, I understand and I agree. So be it. I agree. Other words, amen. You see, We use amen many times. Go to Nehemiah. Out of the 78 times, I picked out several verses that describe how and when amen is used in the Bible and for what purpose. Nehemiah chapter number 8. Verse number 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. There are many times when in the Bible the word amen is used in conjunction with blessing God. You know, we miss many opportunities to witness because we don't pay attention to our Bibles. We're walking through Walmart and somebody says something good about God. And we just kind of nod our heads and walk on. When we really, when somebody blesses God, I don't care if they're from Landmark or some other church, if they say something good about God, we ought to say,
amen.
Amen. Maybe some lost person will hear you say amen and say, what's all this all about? We having a church service here? Amen. We miss opportunities. Through the book of Psalms, used four times in the book of Psalms. Every time it's used in conjunction with blessing God. Somebody blesses God and somebody else says, amen. It's used in acknowledging God's power. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 6. Hope it's okay if I use the Bible. I just needed some affirmation there. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Listen, we need to acknowledge God's power. When God's power has worked in our life and we've seen his hand at work, especially when we're witnessing, because that's a lot of times that's what this is in conjunction with. Matthew 28 verses 16 through 20 and Mark chapter 16, where it talks about the power of God being on the Christian, and our acknowledgement is always amen. But a lot of times we just want to take the credit, because a lot of times when we say amen, we're transferring the glory from ourselves to God. And God really used you today, brother. Amen. God used me today. God won a soul through me today. See, amen acknowledges his power. Go, if you would, to Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11. I'm watching the time. I don't want to quit too early. If I let you out too early, Brother Carter will be mad. We don't want you to beat the Methodists down to the restaurant, okay? Romans chapter number 11. And verse number 36, look at this. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. To who gets the glory? God. How do we give him glory? We just need to say amen every once in a while. Not just here in church. It's easy here. There's several people that say amen all the time. The more the better, by the way. If you go past the 78 times, I wonder if anybody's sitting there counting how many times we've said amen. But if you go past the 78 times in church, it's not a bad thing. But amen, an acknowledgement of the power and glory of God. Go to chapter 16. chapter 16, verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Oh, that's good. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So not only acknowledging of his glory, but also acknowledging his grace. And by the way, everything we have is by his grace. And so I think amen ought to be pronounced even more. We get that little extra little bit, that little extra something in our paycheck or maybe a bonus or something. And what do we say? Man, I got a good boss. And we ought to be saying, amen, glory to God. We miss a lot of opportunities, don't we? Verse number 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Verse 27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever.
Amen.
Amen. Acknowledging his glory and grace. Verse number 24 also, wait a minute, 2 Corinthians, I may have got this all wrong. We'll skip that one. But anyway, we can acknowledge our love for each other through Jesus Christ. What's the new commandment that was given? That you love one another? Sometimes we have a hard time saying amen to that because we're mad at somebody. We're at odds with somebody. We're having a problem with somebody. We all have that problem, don't we? Problem with disunity in the church. What's going on here? We can't say amen. Somebody else gets blessed and we didn't get blessed. We have a hard time saying amen about that. Right?
That's right.
Brother so-and-so, he got a new car and I didn't get one. And I'm mad because I think I deserve it more than he does. And what we really ought to be saying is,
amen,
I love him. I'm glad he got that. I'm glad he's moving ahead. I'm glad he got a better job. We're jealous. We're upset. But you know, it's interesting. If you follow it through the whole Bible, it comes back around to Revelation again. Go, if you would, Revelation chapter number 1. Verse number 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so,
amen.
Amen. We're back to judgment. First used, last used. Not the last used, but it both in chapter 22, it's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ again. Listen to me. When God had the children of Israel stand on Mount Ebal and the Levites pronounced the curse and all the people said amen, here's what they were saying. It's amen. Even if it's my son or my daughter, it's amen. The curse applies. It's amen. Even if it's my mother or my father, it's amen. If they violated the terms of the curse. It's amen, even if it's my best friend or the people I work with. Have you ever noticed that a lot of times when a family member dies of certain people and how that family, I know some of my family members, they were as wicked as they can be, but their kids are saying, oh, I'm going to see mama again someday in heaven. Not if she lived away, not if she was what she acted like. It's amen whether you like it or not. I understand and I agree, except for, you know, sodomy is wrong. Even if it's your son, your daughter, your friend, your mother, your father, whoever, your cousin, it's still wrong. By the way, not just sodomy, adultery, a filthy mouth, drunkenness. It doesn't matter who it is in your family or among your circle of friends. According to God, it's wrong. And whenever he pronounces a curse to it, and he says that they that die without Jesus Christ go to hell, the answer is
amen.
Amen. As far as I know, my own father died and went to hell. I spent the last 2 weeks of his life with him, witnessed to him four times. He started to rally. You know how they do when they're in hospice. He started to rally about 3 days into this time. He started feeling better. And I witnessed to him for the second time. He says, I just don't think I want to give up anything. I'm just not ready right now. I said, how are you going to be any more ready than on the brink of death? I'm not being disrespectful to my own father, but listen to me. If he died without Christ, he went to hell. Listen, if you're here and you're not saved, I don't care how many times you've come to this church. I don't care how many times you've listened to sermons. I don't care how many times you've raised your hand. If you have never personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will die in your sin and go to hell. And all we can say is the judgments of God, I am in perfect agreement with them, and I acknowledge it. And what is that? That's amen. I don't like it. I don't have to like it. I don't necessarily understand why God did it that way, but that's the way he did it, and he's always right. Amen. I acknowledge and I understand. Listen, if you're here today and you're lost, here's what you need to do. You need to say amen. I'm lost. I need to get saved. I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. In a moment, we're going to have the pianist begin to play, and we're going to stand to our feet, and at that first sound of the invitation, here's what you need to do. You need to walk down this aisle, meet one of us down here in the front, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can get in complete agreement with God about your destination.
Amen.
See, if you'll receive Jesus Christ,